Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and it is a pleasure to welcome to the show this guest for this segment, and you know him and love him as the guy that is the driving force behind the Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice and Sports 180, as he has to try and keep that quartet in line between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m., and then also you get to hear his wanderings on Saturday Sports Talk from 8 until 10, just about every Saturday out of the calendar year. You can also find his blog on 99.1thesportsanimal.com. It's the one, it's the only, Joel Silverberg, the pride of Piedmont. How are you?
I'm good, John. That's easily the greatest introduction I've ever had. So I think I'm going to retire after this segment is over.
Well, tell me, what was it like as we are all putting together our mock drafts? What was it like putting yours together, which I think saw the light of day for the first time today?
Yeah, I had the reveal earlier today, so it's up there now on 99.1thesportsanimal.com on our Draft Central. For me, I always try to look at position needs, what team needs what, and then what are the best candidates to try to fill out those roles. Do I think, okay, is somebody going to try to reach on a prospect out of need? Could somebody trade back? And for the sake of this first mock, I didn't project any trades. I didn't project anything crazy. I usually get into that a little bit more when we get into our final mocks next week. But for me, it was really looking at, okay, what needs and what trends match what I'm seeing throughout kind of the rest of the NFL right now. What team needs what? Based on recent free agent signings, releases, draft needs from the year before, a lot of stuff like that. And then I try to fill out the best candidates from there for each team.
Joel, one of the players you've got ranked higher than most, Derrick Brown, defensive tackle from Auburn, going to the Lions at number 3. Why do you like him that high?
I like what he offers on the interior. And I know that there's a lot of discussion with Jeff Okuda, the cornerback from Ohio State, potentially being just automatically inserted into that number 3 spot. I heard one rumor about the potential that Detroit could try to draft Justin Herbert with the number 3 overall pick. I don't necessarily like that. I think Detroit needs a little bit of help on the defensive line. I thought Derrick Brown was really impressive this year at Auburn. So I like the Lions taking Brown just to fill that need that they have at the defensive line right now.
Also, you've got the Titans taking Justin Madubuike, defensive tackle, Texas A&M. Why do you think he fits well for the Titans there?
I think it's trying to find the right match that can help you replace Jarrell Casey. And so the Titans really need help on edge. They need help in the secondary. I don't think they're going to reach for a running back. I know that they have to replace Deion Lewis. I don't see them reaching for that in the first round. And I think with the offensive line situation, I think they are showing that they've kind of addressed that by signing Dennis Kelly to an extension to help replace Jack Conklin after he opted to sign with Cleveland over free agency. They've looked at Vic Beasley Jr. over on the edge. And so I think when I look at position needs, I don't know if there's a cornerback that would still be on the board that really warrants a first round grade, because I've got CJ Henderson, Jeff Okuda already being taken by that point in the draft. So I think Tennessee will look to address its defensive line needs, specifically on the inside, by trying to find a replacement for Jarrell Casey.
You got Henry Ruggs of Alabama going ahead of Jerry Judy. Most people have Judy ahead of Ruggs. What convinces you that Ruggs will go ahead?
For me, this is more specifically the matchup with Ruggs and the Jets. If another team decides to take a wide receiver in the top 10, and which I remember looking back on this and thinking, this is weird. So you're right pointing this out. But I like the matchup for Ruggs replacing the specific need of Robbie Anderson with Ruggs' speed and his ability to take the top off the defense. That was kind of Anderson's fit within New York's offense. So for me, this isn't so much about Ruggs being a better receiver than Judy. I think both guys can be very, very good in the NFL. To me, it was about what specific type of receiver the Jets could be looking for. And I think having to replace a guy like Robbie Anderson, they would want to go in that direction. If the two picks were being flip-flopped and the Raiders were drafting 11th, I would have Judy going to Las Vegas, and I would still have Ruggs going to the Jets.
Joel, we owe it all to you that there is the video of the most recent draft when Daniel Jones was selected by the New York Giants in the hat toss by one Will West. And I know that there's nothing but regret that you won't be on hand to film this year's hat toss.
Yeah, I know, because of our roundtable that we are still planning on doing. I think we're still trying to work out the logistics since everybody's able to broadcast from home. Eric Kane, Sam Foreman, and myself have been able to be here, so we may be able to broadcast from here depending on how we work the entire show out. but I will not be able to record Will West raging over the fact that the Giants probably aren't going to take an offensive lineman in the first round, as he's begged Dave Gettleman to do for, and Jerry Reese, going all the way back, just as years can remember. See, this is a perfect draft for the Giants to take a first-round offensive lineman, which is exactly why they're probably going to draft a linebacker or a corner with that number four pick.
That's great. When you take a look, there are six teams that that do not have a first-round draft pick. What do you think the likelihood is that once we get towards the tail end, and this is always so hard to project, but how, if you had to set the over and under, how many of that half dozen do you think will try and work their way back into the first round?
Of the six teams that would work their way back, I would probably set the over under at 1.5, because I think it's likely you get one. I think part of it is which teams have those needs that they really see, okay, there's a guy that we want and we don't think he's going to be there if we trade back even just a few picks. So for Kansas City, San Francisco, Green Bay, the last three teams that have selections at the end of the first round, you know, what are they really looking to? So because at that point, I think sometimes you're trying to reach on which players could be taken at that point of the draft. If you feel, okay, well, maybe they'd be available more in the second round. And so at that point you predict a trade, but I don't think we'll see as much action right now with those last few picks with teams that don't have a first round pick suddenly trying to draft into the late first round.
Joe, you got T. Higgins, a product of Oak Ridge, a star at Clemson, going number 28 to the Baltimore Ravens. I'm sure Lamar Jackson will love that. Do you think that in a normal year for wide receivers that T. Higgins could have been potentially in the top 15?
Maybe. I think he's got the talent for it. His strength, I think, has been a question with so many wide receivers that we've seen. If it's not for... Really, if it's not for Alabama and LSU, if it's not for those guys, then yeah, I think there is a possibility that a team would take a top 15 pick on a guy like T. Higgins because of his size, his athleticism, his speed, his ability to high point the football. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't look at a guy like Mike Williams, Corey Davis, some of these other receivers that have been drafted very high in the first round and think that he wouldn't match that type of criteria as well. So I do think it's possible. This is just such a deep wide receiver class in the NFL draft this year that You see a great receiver like T. Higgins then thinking, really? He's not even one of the best three receivers in this class? It's crazy how deep it's been, and that's why I think it's so wild that we've seen a guy like Tylan Wallace opt to, you know, go back to school, because he's probably doing himself a favor. Obviously, he had the injury, but the fact that he's going back to Oklahoma State, he's probably doing himself a massive favor by not going to the NFL draft, coming off an injury-plagued year. And as talented as he is, I thought he was one of the most exciting receivers to watch in college football, but because of the injury, he's an afterthought, and he opts to go back to college.
So Todd McShay really likes Jordan Love more than anybody else I've seen. You got Jordan Love going number 23 to the Patriots. Your thoughts on Jordan Love, and obviously you like Burrow, you like Tua, you like Herbert more than him, but you got Love at 23, as I mentioned. Your thoughts on Love as a pro prospect?
Well, I think the Patriots need a quarterback, and I don't think Burrow, Tua, or Herbert are still going to be there. I don't think the Patriots have enough trade capital to really warrant themselves getting up towards where they could get high enough to potentially draft Justin Herbert, because I think he'll be gone. So I don't think New England can do anything unless they want to trade a lot of picks, and I don't think Bill Belichick wants to do that. So with Jordan Love, I think it's a similar situation to Jarrett Stidham, who's on the Patriots roster now. Stidham was obviously better his first year at Auburn, kind of took a step back his second year, and I think the Patriots saw something where they really liked what he did that first season and believe, okay, well, we can adjust this and fix this and get him back to where he was before. I think a similar thing is happening with Jordan Love, obviously, but earlier in his career at Utah State, he was a lot better, didn't play well against ranked opponents while he was at Utah State, not the best supporting cast, but I talked to Tom Keegan of the Boston Herald, who covers the New England Patriots up in Boston, and he says his money's on Jarrett Stidham, but I'm not buying that the Patriots don't take a quarterback in the first round right now, because when I look at what they have on that roster, they brought back Brian Hoyer, but Stidham has already beat out Hoyer for that number two job. He did it last year, and so if that offense is struggling at times this past season with Brady playing at quarterback, at some point, I think the Patriots might be forced to look somewhere else, even if they do start Stidham week one. And so I don't know if they're going to want to go to Brian Hoyer, who is a veteran, who knows the offense, who knows the system, but I think they want to take a chance on somebody and throw another wild card into the mix. I'm not buying Cody Kessler. So I think for Love, it's really more about I think it's more about not being able to get one of the other three quarterbacks that are likely going to be off the board by then and thinking we have to throw somebody else into the fold here, because I don't think the Patriots are fully sold on Brian Hoyer having to back up Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah, and nor should they be, because you still have video from last year of Hoyer trying to be a backup that just didn't go well, especially with the Colts. When you look at just what will be the build-up to this draft, this virtual draft, what do you think? Do you think, I mean, for instance, Washington, we've heard so much about them. We saw Arizona do it with Kyler Murray. Do you think Washington would be tempted at all to draft another quarterback very early in the first round this year as they did last year with Haskins?
I don't think it's out of the question. We've seen teams do this. You just mentioned Arizona doing it. My thing with Washington specifically, maybe it's a little bit hypocritical because Cincinnati is in this problem as well with how bad of an offensive line it has. But when you don't have a great offensive line or a great supporting cast to help out that quarterback that you're drafting, I don't see how that quarterback can be set up to have success. And for Joe Burrow, I think it could be a really slow start. But Joe Burrow had such an incredible Heisman campaign and such an incredible season that it's really difficult to not take him. But to me, if I'm Washington, Chase Young is the safest pick in this draft. And I think Chase Young is an elite playmaker with whatever team he goes to. I think he can take games over and make a big impact immediately. And so for Washington, sure, you could draft Tua. I don't know how much success you can really have. And if I'm Tua, I don't know if I want to go to Washington. To me, I don't want to go anywhere where Dan Snyder is. So to me, Chase Young can at least come in and make an impact where it's not even so much about system. It's not so much about what's around him. And you know that you're going to hit. You're going to be able to check that box off when you make a pick that high. And so could Washington draft a quarterback? Yes. Does it make sense that they would be tempted to? Yes. And I'm not necessarily buying Dwayne Haskins, but I may want to go a different route and try to shore up some other areas of my football team and my roster before I start putting a ton of stock in a first round quarterback pick again.
Obviously, we're all missing sports. Today, Stanley Cup playoffs would have started. What kind of void does that leave for you, sir?
Oh, it's been tough. I was actually texting JP Mackey, the public address announcer of the Knoxville Ice Bears earlier today, and we were just bummed out that, you know, we should be getting ready to celebrate a President's Cup, and we should be laughing at Peoria for choking in the first round again after being the number one seed for like the fifth year in a row. But it is really tough because as a Preds fan, you know, I've saw this team 3 years ago go in as the eighth seed, barely able to make the playoffs, and then suddenly sweep the regular season champ Chicago Blackhawks, go all the way to the Stanley Cup and lose the Penguins in six games. And they were on a three-game win streak when the coronavirus hit, and they had just push themselves in to that second wild card spot. And I kind of started wondering, is something like this really going to happen again where a mediocre regular season turns into a really fun postseason? So it is unfortunate. I hate it for, you know, so many of these other teams with young talent that just had an opportunity to make a big splash. It really was turning out to be, I think, a fun NHL season. So for me, yeah, the entire summer, everything that's been canceled from, you know, Wimbledon to the Masters to the French Open to potentially the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, March Madness, all of it. It's just really, really unfortunate that we're not getting any of that right now.
Hey, Joe, we really appreciate it. Folks, if they choose to follow along, can do so as all of the mock drafts, round one, are available at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Thanks for breaking down yours as well as sharing your thoughts on what this period of time will be like as we build up to the end of April and this year's draft. But have a great evening, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Joel Silverberg. You can follow him on Twitter at Joel Silverberg.